السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal and ihsan, we had the opportunity of being present when this sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was performed. That is the nikah, or the marriages which took place a little while ago. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed the ummah that it is his way of life. To marry is his way of life. Many times you have heard in the bayans that are given on the occasion of marriage that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he encouraged the youth. Not only the youth, whosoever has the physical ability, the financial ability to marry, that they should get married. And great virtues have been mentioned of this institution of nikah. In the limited time that we have, we cannot even discuss a small percentage of those virtues, or even a few of those virtues in detail. So we all are aware that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he made this institution a very sacred institution. Nikah is something that he very strongly recommended. And especially in our times, when we are being invited towards zina by the radio, the television, the newspapers, the magazines, our colleges, our universities, our schools, everything invite towards nothing but zina. And I don't say fairy tales, I don't give stories. I speak from the experience that I have dealing with large number of cases. Just recently addressing some mothers of ours and sisters of ours on an open day, I mentioned certain incidents which no doubt are shocking. But I had to mention them to bring to their attention that what is happening at our schools, our colleges, our universities. And unfortunately, we are quite happy and quite satisfied that our children are in good care. I mentioned that many of you are not aware that your children, some of them, that are in these institutions, are already married. Some are in standard 7, standard 9, matric, or even younger than that, and some in the colleges and universities. They have already made their nikahs. And the reason for that, which they have given, some of them that I have dealt with, is that we have been approaching our parents to get us married, but they are not interested. So therefore, we had two witnesses to our nikah, and this is the way in which we went about with that nikah. So is it valid or not? And some even asked me, standard 9, standard 10, that will you perform our nikah, because we want to save ourselves from zina. So I said, unfortunately, I don't perform nikahs in secret. If you want, then come with your wakil and your witnesses to the masjid and we'll perform your nikah. But the point that I'm getting across to you, and it is not a joking matter or anything that's light-hearted, it is a very serious matter. that the understanding between many of these pupils is this, that after we complete our schooling, then we will make an official nikah. We will pressurize our parents to accept this relationship of ours, and we will make an official nikah. And if they refuse, then if we are over age, we can even take them to court, or we can elope, or we can refuse to accept any other marriage proposal, except that we both will live together until our dying day. Now imagine the consequences of this. And there are many people who are running around with marriage registers for 25 rands and 100 rands, they are performing nikahs. As far as mehr is concerned, it is not an issue anymore. For they have so much of pocket money that they can run homes with that pocket money. Many of them that are going to these institutions. Their pocket money is sufficient to run a home. Their cell phone accounts is sufficient to run a home. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his teachings there's nothing but goodness for us. When he is emphasizing on segregation, that they should not be socializing between ghair mahrams, that they should not be intermingling without any real necessity, like at airports, in the aeroplane, or in a hospital, or when sometimes some nurses have to attend to a person. Those are exceptions, or a doctor has to attend to some patients. Or in business, the person has to talk and deal with customers and clients. There will be many female, or the other way around. Now those are all exceptions. There too, the person must try to control his gaze as much as possible. He must have the khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his heart. But I am talking about where it has become a norm of our society. And if any person has to speak openly against these type of associations, then he is the abnormal person. We who indulge in these things are normal, and this person is abnormal. Now imagine if this marriage, which is valid according to Sharia, if they are major in age and they have conducted their marriages, they had witnesses, the nikahs are valid. Now those parents are still dragging their feet and they are saying that no, first you complete your college education, first you finish this and finish that and get this degree and that degree. As I always say, first you must get your BA, LLB and MAD degree. After that we'll get you married. But they're already madly in love. By the time they will get that MAD degree, it'll be too late. So there's nothing wrong with those degrees and with those qualifications. We need teachers, doctors, lawyers, professors, scientists. The Islamic Ummah needs them. But I am saying that when will we show concern about our deen? That is there no obligation towards deen? Therefore these nikahs which take place, we must congratulate those brothers and sisters and those children of ours who are ready to undertake this step of marriage. It is a big and a bold decision that they are making, because they have to take responsibilities. Large number do not want to take on that responsibility. They are prepared to displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, committing fornication all their lives, and when they have already become of age, or when they have grown in age, then later in life, then they plan to get married. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying that this is my sunnah, it is my way of life. And he's encouraging that such people who have the ability, they should undertake this marriage. No doubt the responsibilities will increase. The burden will increase upon the shoulder of the husband. But there are so much of benefits and so much of virtues. The person gets dignity, he gets respect, he gets honor in society, if he lives a life of a good husband. And that woman, if she lives the life of a good wife, then there is some kind of respectability in that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it a means of procreation, of coming into this world of children, who are a blessing for those parents. If those children get the right education, if they get the right upbringing, and they make dua for the parents, those duas are accepted. On the day of Qiyamah, those little children who passed away, they will not enter into Jannat. Allah Ta'ala will say, enter into Jannat. They will say, we're not entering into Jannat until we don't take our parents with. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will accept the intercession of these little children, the zid of these little children, and send them into Jannat. So that is also a blessing. Then when the person passes away, that child will make dua for the parents. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives those parents because of the duas of those children. And there are so many other worldly benefits and ukhrawi or benefits of the hereafter, which there is no time to go into. So this marriage, which is becoming an institution now, like in amongst the other religions, where it is just a big joke. Person just marries for a little while, he's married, and after that he changes wife, like how we change cars and we change clothing. In the first place, those marriages also, they only take place in name, otherwise they are not real marriages. So Sharia does not want us to live a life of animals. Shariat wants us to live a life of human beings. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he demonstrated in his example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, until Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha lived, he did not make another nikah. And afterwards, all his nikahs, if you have to look at, besides Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the others were widows. And those nikahs were undertaken when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was under tremendous pressure, when there were wars and battles from all sides, when the whole ummah was under siege, as we may call it. The Meccans were preparing to come and destroy the Muslim ummah. From Makkah Sharif, whole forces and army was coming. Now at such a time when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was fully occupied, then again there were thousands of people that were accepting Islam, and there was a need now to educate them. The laws of the Quran Sharif were being revealed. The laws of Allah Ta'ala were being revealed. He had to explain that. It was occupation of all the time. He was fully occupied. And then again, who does not know about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ibadat? That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although it was not farz, but he made ishraq and chash and tahajjud and awabin and so many salats, and then so much of recitation of the Quran Sharif and so much zikrullah. So those marriages could not have been for lust and passion, as the Western media tries to make us believe. And sometimes we too, in our foolishness, we believe. There were great reasons for that. It's a subject on its own. That Islam was spreading the ahkam and the laws of the women folk. Who was going to teach it to the women folk? For different reasons, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam undertook those marriages. But the point is that it did not affect Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's nubuwat. He was still the greatest of all the Nabis. He was the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yet he fulfilled the rights of all wives, and yet he was the closest to Allah ta'ala. It did not affect his spirituality. In fact, it increased. So the ulama have written that the person who gets married after that, his one namaz, he gets the reward of 21 namazes. And when he goes and makes an effort in the bazaars and in the marketplace to go and earn a living and provide for his wife and children, it is like jihad. He gets the reward of jihad. Fi sabilillah. So there's great rewards. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he ordered me that I should hasten 5 things. I've mentioned this before too, but it just came into my mind again. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that you must rush, you must be quick with regards to 5 things. عَجِّلُوا بِالصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ الْفَوْتِ. Don't delay your salat until you miss it and it becomes qaza. Hasten, make quickly your salat. As soon as the time is up, make your salat. Especially our women folk, that is their habit. That those who are namazis also, they will delay until the last minute, and then many a times it becomes qaza. But we should be the encouraging factors. We should be telling them that as soon as the awwal waqt is in, you don't have to wait for the azan. Straight away make your wuzu and make your salat. You will feel lighter, you will feel better, and there will be more barakat in that home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that hasten with your tawbah before you die. And Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that if the right match is found, then don't delay the marriage. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in another hadith, he said, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوا إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيزٌ. That if somebody comes with a proposal and you are quite happy and pleased with that person's character, then give your daughter in marriage. I'm just giving an explanation. Then give your daughter in marriage to that person. If you're not going to do that and you are going to wait for other factors, then what's going to happen? There's going to be large scale fitna on the earth, which we are actually seeing with our own eyes these days. That a person will come, he's got a reasonable job, is of good character, he's got a home to provide shelter, and he's got sufficient earnings to give her maintenance. But still they will say, no, this is not sufficient. We require much, much more than that. And that is where the other hadith sharif comes in, which you have heard on many, many occasions. تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعِينَ لِحَسَبِهَا وَلِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاسْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that a woman is married for four reasons generally. One is for her status, family status, that we are looking at the family status, that from which high-ranking family she comes. Or we are looking at her wealth, that how much of property she owns, how much of gold and silver she has, how rich is her father, what is his bank balance like, what kind of car he drives, so that I as a son-in-law also can get some share in his property. Or we are looking at that woman's beauty, that did she also participate in some beauty contest, did she get any kind of award. Or the person is looking at her deen, that what is her deen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that look at the deen of that woman and get married. It does not mean that you must not look at her beauty, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said that if a person wants to get married, then somehow he must see the girl. So that it doesn't happen that after he gets married, then he doesn't take any liking to her. So there must be some kind of attraction also that is permissible. Sharia is according to our nature. Sharia is not going on any kind of extremism. Sharia takes into consideration our needs, our aspirations, our feelings, our desires, our wishes. Sharia takes consideration of all that. All the ahkam of Sharia, you can look at it. Now here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on the one hand he is saying that don't give beauty priority, and on the other hand he is saying that you must see the girl. Now what is the reason for that? That beauty must not become the priority. If you get a woman of beauty, you get a woman with wealth, but she has got deen in her, she's from a high ranking good family, but she's got deen in her, so then that marriage will be successful, because wealth is not something that lasts for all times. Just one revolution, one riot, and all the wealth is gone. And so many people, there's no revolution, no riot, but suddenly the whole business center moved from there. The bus rank moved from there. The shopping complexes were built a little distance away, and the center of the town became dead, finished, and the business has gone bankrupt. So where are we going to look at the wealth? And so many people, the wealth got destroyed in other ways. Beauty also, just one sickness is sufficient to destroy that beauty. And many a times there's no recovery from that. There's no such thing as the beauty will be restored again. Now if the person had based his marriage on those considerations, then that will be the end of that marriage. Now this person will go and indulge in adultery because he's based his marriage on those considerations. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you are going to marry a deendar woman, then through rainy or through cloudy weather, you and her, you will sail together. Because the marriage was based on that deen. So just like that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that just as you look for deen, you should be looking for deen in the bride. In the same way, if a person comes to you and he has got deen in him, and he's putting a proposal for your daughter, for your sister, or whomsoever you are a guardian of, then give consideration to that akhlaq of that person. He can have the fortune, he can have everything, he can have the best cars, he can have everything with him, holiday cottages, and he can have gold and silver mines. But if he hasn't got deen in him, he will not fulfill your right. In other words, your daughter, you want somebody that will fulfill her right. You want somebody that will take care of her. You want somebody that will give her love and affection. Somebody that will share with her. somebody that will not be all the time demanding his rights. Someone that will be prepared to sacrifice for the sake of the comforts of the wife. Somebody that will take care of her just as you would like to take care of your daughter. So you want somebody like that, so who is going to do that? Only that person can do that who has got akhlaq in him, who has got Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's khawf, and who's got Allah ta'ala's muhabbat, and who's got Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's obedience. Only that person can fulfill the rights of that wife. That whether she is angry or whether she is in a good mood, whatever it may be, but this person will say that she is my wife. She has made a sacrifice. She has left her parents' home. She has left the comfort of the parents, and she has left everything that she had, and she became like a prisoner in my hands. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or in the Quran Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refers to them as prisoners in your home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, your wives are like prisoners. Now prisoners does not mean that you treat them as prisoners. What he means there is that they have left all those comforts, they have come to you, now it is left to you to make their life comfortable, to make them happy, to make them pleased, to fulfill their rights, to care for them, to be good to them, to be kind to them. And there will be sometimes certain things that they will say which will annoy you and displease you. But for everything there is a limit to what extent you should reprimand, to what extent you should overlook. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has demonstrated in his example that how much he overlooked. Look at the sahaba kiram, how much they overlooked. All the awliya siddiqeen, how much they overlooked. Their wives become the means of their gaining entry into Jannah, of gaining closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of gaining Allah ta'ala's marifat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if they come to you with a proposal and they are good in akhlaq, then accept it. Don't delay, because if you're going to do that, then it will create widespread dissension on earth. Then what is going to happen is exactly what is happening now. That young boys and girls will even go to the extent of making secret marriages, and in most cases, of course, it's not secret marriages. They will court and they will court and they will court until finally their marriages, when they finally undertake a marriage, that marriage will also end up in the court. How many marriages are ending up in the courts amongst our non-Muslim communities, Europe, America and everywhere in the world? This is what they do. They court and they court and they court. That's what I say. And finally they end up in the court. And Shariat says that there's no love before marriage. Love is after marriage. She must be a total stranger to you when she comes into your home. Then that is the excitement of marriage. Otherwise, what is the excitement of marriage? My young friends, I'm talking to you. Those girls that you go out with, and after 10 years you get married. What is the excitement in that marriage? Shariat wants that there must be enjoyment. That's why they call it Shab-e-Zufaf. The walima is for that also, that there's enjoyment. It's the first night of marriage where they have seen each other, or they have really communicated with each other. Even if they had seen each other because they were cousins, or in any other way, but there was no love relationship at all. Now this is what we term as marriage. Otherwise, what is in that marriage? What's left in that marriage? And that is the reason that marriage ends up at the court after that. Because they court for many years, and in fact many a times, as I say, that after 3 or 4 children are born, if you read the newspapers, if we know what's happening in the societies, those who don't believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's even happening now unfortunately in many Muslim cases, that after 3 or 4 children are born, then they say there was great excitement that we have announced the proposal. Marriage proposal is being announced now, after 3 children, 5 children are born. So is that marriage? If that won't end up in the court or in divorce, then what way, where will it end up? So let us not be afraid, oh my young friends, let us not be afraid to take the plunge and get married. Don't be too dependent on parents and family members and others to take care of our needs. If Allah Ta'ala has given us education and has given us some intelligence and has given us the ability to go and earn, then marry a girl who will accept you as you are and will not look at your bank balances and all the other degrees and qualifications. That she must look at your akhlaq, your character and your ability to earn and support her. Then get married and support her. Don't say that I'm waiting now until my grandfather is going to build up a house for me and my father is going to put some transfer of amounts in my account and I will be quite comfortable for the next couple of years, then I will get married. You will notice many people, and I'm telling you this without exaggeration, those people who were earning very little, they did not have the courage to get married. But they had sufficient to provide for a wife, a home, food, shelter. But when they took the plunge and they got married, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opened the doors of risk for them. Every child that comes brings in its own risk and sustenance. We are not the providers of risk and sustenance. It might sound crude sometimes to say such kind of things in the masjid, but it is something that's a reality and it is not something that is beyond our understanding now. That one great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and it's such a lesson in there for us, that great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could have provided milk for the child from just one breast. Just one breast was sufficient to provide milk and nourish the child. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave her two breasts. To show that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the provider of risk and sustenance, why are you so worried and afraid? You obey Allah ta'ala and make the correct effort in the marketplace, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will provide for this child that has come. If this Allah can provide two streams of milk, then what is it for him to provide lifelong for this child? And then I add on to that, that when the mother is feeding the baby, then the head of the baby is towards the skies. When she's breastfeeding the child, the face of the head is towards the skies. Why? That the risk is coming from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's khazana. Why are we afraid that where will we provide for our children? Practice abortion and birth control and this and that. Yes, there is some gunjaish, as we say, that in certain cases Sharia allows a spacing of children. That is a different chapter, in which condition and for whom. But those who say, how are we going to feed these children? They are the ones who are suffering. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the coming of each child, He increases the sustenance of that person. Unless, of course, that couple themselves are committing a lot of haram, and they are committing a lot of indecent acts and shamelessness they have in their lives, or they've got no salat in their lives, they've got no zakat and hajj in their lives, and they've got watching the television and the filthy porn sites and the filthy magazines and all the haram things have entered their lives and their homes, then if Allah Ta'ala snatches away their rizq, then we blame nobody but them for that. Allah Ta'ala sometimes provides, but when we disobey Him, Allah Ta'ala gives us a chance, make tawbah and return, make tawbah and return. But when the person doesn't return, then Allah Ta'ala pulls the carpet from beneath the person's feet. In some cases it is a test for the person, for the awliya, for the pious and the righteous, maybe a test. But for us who are sinful ones, Allah Ta'ala snatches it away. And therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make the dua, and I conclude on that. Allahumma inna na'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik, wa tahawwuli afiyatik, wa fujaati niqmatik, wa jami'i sakhatik. In essence, what it means is that we are asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from the sudden loss of our wealth. Allah Ta'ala snatches things away. You can see around the world it is happening. Big, big palaces they were staying in. Saddam Hussein, what was he living in? And where is his place of residence now? And so many other kings, where did they end up? So many other presidents of countries, where did they end up? The prison cell became their home after having lived for many, many years in huge palaces. But when indulgences in sins and vices and evils become the part of the life of the person, and this is what happens. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect all of us. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the ummah is facing around the globe, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Kashmir. Oh my Allah, which part of the world the ummah of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not suffering? These nikahs which took place, may Allah Ta'ala unite their hearts, the hearts of husbands and wives, with love, with muhabbat, with affection. May Allah Ta'ala give them the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of each other. And may Allah Ta'ala bless them with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.